Take a sip on the bright side with the new Dunkin' Matcha Latte. Try the refreshing combination of sweetened matcha green tea blended with creamy milk. You can enjoy it iced, hot, or frozen. It's the delicious way to hit the reset button on your day. I love Dunkin'. Always reminds me of being back home on Long Island. My dad would stop in Dunkin' whenever he could, pick up a coffee for him and my mom. It's also just a delicious way to drink something delicious. Enjoy a refreshing matcha latte at Dunkin' today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who goes up and down the stairs all day to bring you 20 podcasts. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm so excited this morning. Really pumped up because I have with me on the line my great friend, the founder of Talking with T-Bird, the podcast, of course, from Survivor Africa, the great T-Bird Cooper is here. T-Bird, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm dumb. Excuse me. Hello. I called you the Rob Father earlier, and you corrected me. You corrected me, and you said, no, it's the Pod Father.
Well, that's
so
closer.
I'm doing good, Pod Father.
That's closer, at least.
I'm doing
Pod
good.
Father.
What? Yeah, the Pod Father. Boy, do we have a great episode to recap from last week to this week. This is going to be, we're going to have a lot of fun. And I want to tell you right now, I've got a big surprise
okay.
later on as we go along. I've got a big surprise and I think you're going to enjoy
okay.
it.
All right. Hang on, everybody. T-Bird, you know I love surprises.
Oh, I forgot about that. Did I run this by you? Uh-oh. Okay.
All right.
This is it for me.
All right. So we have a lot to talk about here today. Last night we had the Survivor Know-It-Alls where Steven and I got into everything after this episode. It's hard for me to compose myself to do the Survivor Know-It-Alls. I'm really so emotionally shook after some of these episodes, T-Bird.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. From last week into this week, well, they've all been good. Every mm-hmm. episode has been good. This season has not disappointed at all. And I got to tell you, it's going in a completely different direction than I thought it would, which makes it even fun, too, because, you know, like last week, for example, I never saw it coming for
no.
Ethan. I never saw it coming. And then I had a couple of people say, well, God, T-Bird, it was either going to be Parvati, Boston Rob, Adam, or Ethan. Well, okay, of course.
Yeah.
I thought it would be those four, but I thought Ethan was the bottom, the very last one that it would have been. Mm-hmm. So that was shocking. So I love that I was blindsided by that, but I didn't like the fact that I was blindsided that it was Ethan.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you know what? I don't know if I should go on record this early to ruin it for everybody, but I'll tell you who the winner of this season is. Should I do
okay,
it or should I not?
This is your speculation. This is not, you're not coming on to give us a spoiler, right?
Okay, that's right. This is my speculation. The winner of Survivor Winners at War is Ethan Zahn. He's already won. He's already won.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when this season is over, what you know how it is a lot of times when seasons are over and you go back and you're like, who won that season? And sometimes you can't remember who won. It's like Russell Hantz. I don't think Russell's ever won.
No.
But he's such a big, big figure, a big character, that a lot of times that's who you remember from the seasons are the ones that weren't even the winners. So whether or not Ethan is actually the winner, he has already won. As a matter of fact, I pretty much know firsthand that as far as Sia's money, you can forget it. Sia is actually going to hire him as her PR rep because he is, I mean, he has pulled at everybody's heartstrings.
Yeah.
He has shown, you know, that he is not a quitter no matter what he's been through. He's such a competitor. So, you know, I know a lot of us, most of us were disappointed to see him go, and I'm still confused they let him go. I think he was not the one I would have let go, but what, you know, after watching him this week with what he did and climbing the stairs 20 times to get 20 pieces of wood and to see the human kindness that the three others gave to him. This series is great.
Okay. All right.
This is great.
Well, let's get into all of that, like piece by piece. We got so much to talk through. Let me just also set up that we've got our Survivor Feedback show coming up this weekend. Jason Linden is going to join me to talk about everything. So get your feedback questions in for Jason Linden. And then we have our This Week in Survivor coming up as well this weekend with Shuby, not to mention the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. And we'll get into all of the wand offs. T-Bird, besides all the Survivor stuff, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
Okay, well, you know, I'm flying, doing trips here and there, you know, a little bit worried, of course, about the coronavirus, like the whole world is, because that's affecting so many industries. Yeah. And so, you know, really, you know, that's a big concern right now with all of us, especially, you know, every industry. So other than that, everything's good. Yeah. Kids are good. Everything's good. And how about with you?
Yeah. You know, just so much Survivor stuff. And then if it's not Survivor stuff, you know, I'm doing a bunch of family stuff around the house. So Survivor is a nice diversion.
Yes.
Yes. Very good. All right. So T-Bird. I know you're very upset about Ethan, and we'll talk more about Ethan, I'm sure. But what about Tyson last night being the person to get voted out? Were you surprised that Tyson was the latest player voted out?
Oh, God. Let me tell you what I learned about Tyson. Okay, so Tyson, I believe, learned one of his castmates' names last night. And let me tell you what I learned about Tyson. I know
I
you and Tyson are good
knew.
Friends, right?
I think he's joking.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I learned about Tyson last night. I did not know that Tyson had played four times. I didn't know that. I mean, I know you're good friends with Tyson, but I didn't know that. So I learned that about Tyson. I think Tyson coming after after the Queen was definitely the start of his downfall, because it seemed like to me that my mind just went blank, that Tony made a really good argument about keeping Tyson, because if not, it's going to weaken her game, Sandra's game, and his game. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to me. I know Sandra said that, you know, she said, I like revenge, but at the end of the day, I like $2 million even more. But you know what, Rob, I don't know that that's true. I think Sandra, She's already left a mark on this game. I think she knows that the chances of her getting to the end and winning $2 million are slim and none. So to me, Sandra is a very, very dangerous player, because she's there all about mixing it up, stirring it up. So in my eyes, Sandra is a really, really dangerous one, because even, you know, She's smart. You would think she would have thought too, okay, we need to hold on to Tyson, because some of these other players aren't as strong. And however, with that being said, once these tribes merge, or once they're mixed up, which I think we're going to see next week, Tyson actually is going to come, would have become stronger, because now he's going to be with Boston Rob,
Harvey,
and once, right, and there was a chance, there looked like another chance to pull old school back together. Mm-hmm. However, I can't see Sandra pulling with Tyson now that she knows that Tyson was trying to go after her. And I cannot see Sandra going with Boston Rob either at all. Now, you might prove me wrong as we go into week after week, but I think Sandra is still so upset that Boston Rob never told her that he was going to be out there for this season. I don't think she can get over that.
I do think that was a factor, that, you know, Tyson is friends with Rob and she did not want to work with anybody involved with Rob. So I went back, I watched the episode again this morning, and I was trying to sort of make sense about what was going on. We know from last week, we saw where Tyson was talking with Yule and threw out Sandra's name. But I do think that maybe this episode might have played with the timing a little bit of the way that everything played out. And so hear me out for a minute. I wonder if that it was earlier in the season that maybe in the first couple of days that Tyson might have thrown out Sandra's name, and Yule went back and told Sandra that Tyson said your name, because in the scenes that in the episode where Tony talks to Sandra, I was actually very surprised because I've been noticing that Tony has like this gray beard this season, like all of us last couple of years, added some gray hair to that we didn't see when Tony first played in Caggiano. He wasn't there the second time long enough to get any gray hairs. Maybe the second time gave him a few gray hairs. But I've been noticing that Tony has this gray beard that's coming in, except that in the scenes where Tony talked to Sandra in this episode, Tony looks pretty clean shaven. So, and I know this happens from time to time, going back to when I played, that when I got voted out, that they, you see in the episode where I got voted out, I'm talking to Boston Rob and he shakes my hand about something. And that had happened like on day like six, and I got voted out on day 12. So things, they end up taking something to make, everything that's relevant happen in one episode. But when Tyson talks to Tony, Tony has his beard. And when Tony goes and talks to Kim and talks to Sandra, they're talking about the vote tonight, and Tyson is making sense. We need to keep the targets. I wonder if Sandra was never even approached about, hey, can you be the fifth vote? That maybe Sandra was in with the Yule crowd so close, or they felt like if they went to Sandra, that she would tell what they were talking about and it would get too out of control. So I think that Tony and Kim and Sarah considered saving Tyson, but I don't even know if it got as far as talking with Sandra about it, because I think that maybe they felt like they couldn't trust her to not say anything.
Okay, so let me say, before I answer that question, where were you going with the beard thing? Because I kept thinking, okay, where is he going with the beard thing? I'm thinking about the beard, and all of a sudden you left me off. And what happened? Where are we going with the beard?
Well, I apologize for not being clear enough, and maybe I'll show this on my Instagram on Friday. But that when Tyson talks to Tony in this episode, you see that Tony has like this white beard. But when you see Tony is at the well talking with Sandra, like, Tyson is making sense and maybe we should keep Tyson around. She's like, no. He said it. He said my name. I don't know if I can trust him. And so the conversation that Sarah and Tony are having about Tyson happened before we got to where it's the day of the vote. That Tony has much less facial hair in the scenes. There's two scenes. There's one by the well and there's one that's on the beach with Sandra and Sarah and Tony, and they're talking about working with Tyson, and Sandra is very much dead set. He said my name. She says in confessional in the episode, and then it's hard to tell with the confessional, how close it happened to the vote. I don't know if I can trust Tyson or not. But when Tony is talking to her, I think this happened days before they lost the challenge.
Okay, Podfather, thank you for the beard clarity. I got it now. So this is the thing about Sandra. You can tell Sandra something and she's going to twist it and turn it, or she's going to twist it and turn it anyway. Mm-hmm. So I can see where they would be afraid, Tony, Kim, and Sarah would be afraid to go to Sandra for anything. I mean, you kind of got to keep her at arm's length with any kind of information at all.
Yeah.
So,
and we saw that in the first episode, we saw that, it was, she went to, I think Tyson said Nick's name, and she went to Nick and said, hey, now he said your name.
Right. So, last night I can see them getting Tyson off. Now, again, I can't follow Sandra's gameplay because I think she plays minute by minute. She's changing it up. But I really cannot see, like I said, her pulling together with Boston Rob and Parvati and Tyson doing the old school and Yule pulling them all together because she's such a wild card. So I can see why she wanted to get Tyson out, because Nick at this point doesn't appear to me to be a threat at all. I mean, even, well, we know Sandra's not a threat in challenges. So what we are calling Sandra.
She did that puzzle, though.
The queen. Okay. Well, what about this sitting out? You can't sit out back to back.
Yeah.
Have we addressed that yet? What's the word on
back
that?
When we played in the game, so that I believe you couldn't sit out in back to back challenges, but that was with the reward challenge and with a immunity challenge all in one episode. I think from episode to episode, you can. I'm not sure exactly when they made that rule officially. Like, I'm not sure, like, if, you know, back in our day, if somebody sat out of the immunity challenge, would they have been able to sit out of the next reward challenge? I'm not sure if that was the rule. Do you know?
I just remembered. I don't remember exactly. I just remember you couldn't sit out back-to-back
challenges. Yeah, they started, I think, back in Survivor Australia. I think they used to call it the Roger rule because they would sit Roger out of these challenges where he couldn't swim, and so they would sit him out of all these challenges where they had to go in the water. But I'm not sure exactly when they officially changed that rule. But you can't sit out both challenges that take place in one episode cycle is what the rule is. And I'm not sure exactly when they made that change. But it wasn't recently.
All right. Well, I think we called it the Sandra bench or the Queen's bench. Let's call it. I'm thinking it should be called the Queen's throne.
The Queen's throne. Okay.
So I'm going to call it the Queen's Throne. Okay, so we know Sandra is not a threat in challenges, and I'm sure most people think that they can go to the end with Sandra, and I think this is what Sandra's even hoping too, because she's not a threat for challenges, she's not a threat to win.
Let me just put a pin in that for 1 second. That why do you feel like people would want to go to the end with Sandra? She's not a threat to win. She's won twice.
Yeah, but that's why they're not going to vote
give her a third
to win a third time. No way. No way. Because listen to this. She's really not a humble winner. Mm-hmm. She makes sure that she lets everybody know and the queen stays queen. So nobody's going to want to hear any of this for round three if mm-hmm. she wins. No way. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this list of players that we've got out there, even the ones on Edge of Extinction. And I can't see that they would vote Sandra over any of these other players. Because even, like, for example, take like a Tony, who some people are kind of, you know, some people are hot with Tony and some people are cold with Tony. Well, I mean, this season, I mean, I think Tony's playing a great game. He's likable.
Sure.
He's fun. And then, okay, let's take a Sarah, who some people thought before she kind of played, you know, to get where she got, she did some things that a lot of people said they weren't crazy about, but hey, she got there. Look at her this week, what she did. Look at last week, what she did. What a resume she's building. Mm-hmm. So tell me one person out of these other 19 that you would not give the money to, that you would give it to Sandra. I can't wait for the listeners to hit us up on this one.
I disagree with you on this. I think that if Sandra gets to the end, I think that she could, you know, pound the table and say, hey, I won two times and now you let me get to the end again. What is it, you guys crazy? Like, of course I should get the win for the third time. So I think it's hard to say. And it's so early in the game. They've only been to Tribal Council twice. I do think that Sandra had a big impact on both of those first two votes where that the two people that were most closely aligned with Boston Rob, she got them out of her tribe as either a deciding vote or a sort of like a key stakeholder in terms of who was going to be the person to go. So I think it's hard to really get into resume talk when it's only day 11. I think that if Sandra gets to the end with the target that's on her back, I think that she would be very deserving of the win.
Yeah, but deserving of it, whether they would actually give it to or not.
That's a valid question of whether or not people would be wanting to hear, like, hey, nobody else has won twice, and now we're going to let Sandra win a third time. I don't know. I'm not a winner. I don't know how they think.
Well, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that we saw Tyson, you know, again, we keep talking about everything that's being done, the gameplay that's being done to weaken the Rob father. So you're right. I mean, they got Amber out, weakened the Rob father. We got Ethan out. They got Ethan out, weakens the Rob father. And now they've got Tyson out. So, but I'm curious why they don't just get the Rob father out.
Well, I think that they look at him like that they can hide behind Rob, where that people I think are kind of scared where, hey, if I keep Rob in the game, I know he's getting voted out before me. So that's another week that I'm going to be around because I can hide behind Rob. He's always going to be the bigger target. Even Tony talked about with I don't want to get rid of Tyson. Tyson is like a shield. Nick, he is a number, but he is not a shield. So you want to keep around people that where you can hide, where that they're coming for that person and not for you. And that was what I thought was really compelling about Tyson's argument to Tony. You know, Tyson even said after the fact, like, it was too easy. He went to everybody. Everybody's like, oh, okay, sure. Okay, Nick, that's good. But when he went to Tony, he really like reinforced that argument to Tony of like, hey, Tony, if you get rid of me, then they're going to come after you. And that sent Tony's wheels spinning. And Tyson, you know, was all I think Tyson thought he was going to be, you know, voting out Nick 8-1. But what really ended up almost happening was that the Tony, Sarah, Sandra, Kim group, if they would have had Sandra, would have come together. And maybe that Tony and Sarah and Kim did. I have to go back and see if they even, you know, tried to get Kim as maybe the fifth vote. Maybe there was another person that they potentially talked to. Like, maybe did Kim maybe talk to Sophie about it? Because even Kim wasn't even this. She was one of the votes that was against Tyson. So that it would just didn't, the plan did not come together. But I think that Tony was trying to put a group of five together to potentially save Tyson, and it never ended up happening.
Well, that's true. And you know, what's interesting too, it's unlike the editing last week where I never saw it happen to Ethan. This week, I started seeing it that it was going to happen to Tyson because, you know, we kept seeing, I think, they were talking about Nick being just kind of showing him laying around. And I think we had Yule saying he just consumes. So the more they kind of kept talking about mentioning Nick like that, then I started thinking, I don't think it's going to be Nick. I think it's going to be Tyson. So, and then, you know, even Wendell was saying how well connected Tyson was with the other side, which, of course, that's the greatest fear now going into, you know, the next few weeks, because I know they're going to mix it up somehow. So, I mean, I think Tyson was a good vote. I mean, and even with Nick, isn't it interesting that, and that puzzle, we hadn't even talked about the puzzle yet, the great puzzle.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
We haven't talked about that yet. So a lot of people may or may not know that Nick had actually done this puzzle, I guess, 3 years ago, whenever it was his season, and had won it. So if I had known that watching it last night, I would have sure not thought that they would have come back like they did, the other tribe. So, you know, and then when you hear Probst yelling, you know, it's an absolute disaster, the biggest blowout ever in Survivor. And then the great puzzle comeback, that was fun. You know, you got to love that.
T-Bird, I want to ask you, I talked about this with Steven last night, do you think it's possible that they threw the challenge? I went back and I watched it this morning, and really, it blows your mind of what they were doing, that they are putting the puzzle together, and then they're taking it apart. And then I was thinking, well, maybe that there's a piece that has to be on the top that they put on the bottom, because it's a circle, but because it's a circle, it seems like that you couldn't put the puzzle together the wrong way, where if you have pieces that are supposed to be at the top, like it didn't, there was no like north arrow on that I could see. Like, I think that theoretically you could put the thing together the same way, right side up or upside down. You were involved in a challenge throw in Survivor Africa. Did that look like people potentially throwing a challenge to you, T-Bird?
All right, so I would say absolutely not. I mean, I know that tribes throw challenges for different reasons, but why? What would it have benefited
Tyson.
Them to throw it? No. I don't think they were throwing it. I really, really don't. Now,
said yourself, you know, it'll be Nick put this puzzle together in a previous season, and he had all the time in the world. He can't put this puzzle together anymore?
Yeah, I know it sounds crazy to say, but I don't believe they had anything to gain. I know you're saying, well, they got Tyson out, But you know, going in, anything could happen. I mean, Nick was definitely a target as well. I do not
but
believe
he was a target because
this.
Tyson started saying his name after they lost the challenge.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't think it on this one that, that was the case. Do you believe it, or are you just trying to stir it up?
I would say I think I'm maybe 60-40 that they threw the challenge. It boggles the mind how they could blow that lead, especially when the thing is half built. And I've never done that puzzle before, but it seems like that you put the pieces together, and there's you get the bottom, and then you put the pieces into the middle. It doesn't seem like it needs to be put together in too much of a specific order. It seems like the certain things that slide through, you have to like stack things exactly. The other tribe came in, had no issue whatsoever. I just feel like that Nick has already done this, and it seems like that, you know, you heard Wendell say all eyes are on Tyson, he's the big target. He had been the big target for several days, that they knew that swap was around the corner. They're worried about like, okay, well, maybe, you know, Tyson is going to necessarily link back up with Boston Rob. They don't know what's going on the other tribe. They're watching. Boy, Rob and Parvati are still there. They must be running things over there. Rob and Parvati must be calling all the shots. You know how these survivors get where they make assumptions about who's running the thing on the other tribe?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So refresh my memory here. So Boston Rob and Michelle were doing the puzzle on their tribe. And Nick, who was doing it with Nick? Sarah. Okay. This is just my feeling on this. Sarah is not going to throw a challenge.
She tried to throw a challenge at Survivor Kagiyan.
No. I mean, what I mean is, I don't think that Sarah tried to throw this challenge. I don't think Sarah was trying to throw this one. And Nick, I think Sarah's a player. I think Nick's kind of hanging back. I'm not seeing right now a whole lot of strategy out of Nick. I'm just not. So I can't see Nick saying, hey, let's throw the challenge. I mean, who said it to who? Did Nick say it to Sarah? Did Sarah say it to Nick? I mean, what point? Who got together and said, hey, we're going to... I'm going to go on record here to say I do not think it was a thrown challenge, but I can't wait for us to try to find out from Nick or Sarah from somebody. But I'm going to say no.
I'm just feeling like that they wanted to get rid of Tyson. They've wanted to get him out for a while. Why not have Sophie on the puzzle? Sophie's been sort of the one of the expert puzzle solvers these last couple of puzzles.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
good point.
And The other thing that, again, this is a little thing, and I don't want to get too much into edit talk, but after the challenge is over, they went to Adam and not somebody on the, I mean, you would think that blue tribe, the red tribe, Dekal, would have been super upset about this. I can't believe we blew the pub with that lead. We're like, I can't believe any of this. They were pretty much ho-hum about the whole thing. We heard from Adam after the challenge about how Adam, like, hey, my teacher said when you set your mind to it, you could accomplish anything. So she was right. It just seems like a little bit, you would think people would be more upset about such a bad blown, loss in the challenge. Like the biggest comeback of all time happened against you. Nobody's mad about that.
All right. Well, that's okay. Okay. I hear what you're saying, but I guess if you want to say that, we could always say, well, did the other tribe, were they trying to throw the challenge when they put, it looked like their three shortest members to try to do the key, to try
to
get
know.
The key.
Well, Adam got the first two. That seemed like that was fine. It was just that third one that was tough to get.
Well, he was worn out. He was exhausted. You know, he's been on his apology tour. So that's, the apology tour has just worn Adam out. Hey, listen, as I was watching it, I was thinking about watching Adam, poor Adam. By the way, I like Adam a lot. I mean, I think with these winter seasons, I really like to see these players. It's a catch 22, Rob. I love to see these players play. As opposed to a lot of times I think the one that we see win, this is just me guessing, the person that wins this season is going to be one of these players that we're not really seeing, that are kind of in the background. But with that being said, and that's a good way to play if you want to win. And that's what they're out there to do, is win. But I love these players that make these big, bold moves like Adam did last week. And now it looks like Adam is kind of like the Stockholm syndrome for poor Adam. He's in a, I mean, you know, the Stockholm syndrome is what, like, it's a psychological alliance with your captors. So it's almost like, I mean, he's overcompensating. And now that's kind of blowing up on him, because now the Rob father is going and talking to Jeremy mm-hmm. and Michelle and blowing his whole game up. And then he's out there in the challenge just wearing his little self out trying to get these keys. So, you know, then you got to say, again, I say, they put their three shortest members in to try to grab the keys. Were they trying to throw the
Definitely
challenge?
Definitely not. Definitely not. They did not think that through in terms of, you know, the, you know, how high you had to jump to be able to do that. I don't think that they were thinking that through. They were not trying to go to a tribal council.
All right. So this is what I'm wondering too. Okay. Wasn't it the key grabbing duties? Didn't that go to Adam and
Denise
and
Parr? Yeah.
Was it Denise? And what happened to Denise? Did she ever jump
so
once?
I don't know if they were all jumping multiple times and then we just stopped seeing where Denise and Parvati were also making attempts, or maybe they were so wiped out and Adam just had to keep going, because Adam ended up getting all three of the keys for the Sele tribe, that he got the first two. Like, I wasn't paying super close attention to it until Adam kept jumping over and over again last night. But when I rewatched it this morning, yeah, he got all three of them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He was encouraged by Tony yelling at him off the sideline.
Tony was trying to throw him off. Tony was doing voodoo on him.
Yeah. I'm like, what's happening, Tony? What are you doing over there? Poor Adam.
T-Bird, can you talk a little bit about Adam's apology tour and what that was like? And do you think that endeared him more to the people that were on his tribe? Or do you think it came off as a little bit too much of a kiss up?
Well, I actually was believing Adam. I believe he really, really, really was sorry that he, you know, like you said at the beginning, he did it all wrong. He should have never done that. But I think what it shows to me, I mean, Adam now playing both sides is one of the worst things you can ever do, which now Adam has done that. But I tell you what we see now is the strength and the gameplay of Michelle, who actually goes to Adam and says, you know, now you see what happens, you know, when you try to play both sides. So I'm thinking, you go, girl. I mean, she's developing a good gameplay this time around. I guess she does not want to be remembered for having weak gameplay. And I'm certainly seeing that she's playing a really, really good game, her and Jeremy.
Michelle has really done a great job so far this season. I was really surprised to hear, though, so much about the meta commentary coming from her directly, like in talking with Boston Rob about how she really does seem like that she carries this with her about having something to prove from her first season. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that could potentially cause her to make a mistake in this game.
Yeah, you know what, Rob, just like I was talking about to you earlier, if you're playing out in front, and I guess let me give you the best analogy I can from my season, somebody like Lex that's playing out there, he's playing hard, he's making all these moves, and then you've got somebody like Ethan playing behind him that you really don't hear from, you really don't see a lot of gameplay, and Ethan wins. So if you're trying to make, if you make it to the end, and I've always said this, the best player to win is the player that wins. However they got there, they got there. And so I think for Michelle to carry, you know, to carry this on, that, you know, I mean, poor God, I mean, look at the one with Edge of Extinction where, Chris, where Chris comes back and wins, bless his heart. I mean, not only does he have to carry that around that he won after being voted out. So, and I'm sure that sticks with him too. I'm sure he would have, but yeah, I think you're right. I think Michelle maybe, it's kind of like Adam. I think Adam played a quiet game mm-hmm. when he won. I don't think he played an all out, you know, like a Tony.
Well,
played.
Nobody played like a Tony.
Well, let me look here.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just say about that. You know, you're right. I mean, but look at Amber.
Yeah.
What a behind the scenes person she was. Okay, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Of course, Denise was in the negative all the way and stayed in and played mm-hmm. hard. But Ethan, I mean, there are a lot, Adam, there are a lot, Nick.
Yeah,
I mean,
more
I
of
think
a social
there are a lot
game.
Of these players.
Yeah, and it's, you know, yeah. Really controlling the strategy of their season. That going back to that conversation between Rob and Michelle, I do think that speaks to, you know, we hear about, oh, the Rob father and like, you know, Rob's very like, aggressive game. But I do think that he has an underrated social game where that he can have those types of conversations where he's building up this like sort of like a, you know, older brother relationship with Michelle. And that's one of the things that he did really well in Survivor Redemption Island with people like Natalie and Andrea, where that he can, you know, be somebody that, you know, people like Michelle can go and talk to. And he's not talking to her in any sort of like a threatening way. He's like, you know, building that social bond with her, where I think that Jeremy and Michelle like really would consider, hey, do we go with Rob and Parvati or do we go with, you know, Denise and Ben?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right about Rob's gameplay. Absolutely. Because you think he obviously, like you said, for him to have been successful as he's been in the game, he's got people that like him. I mentioned Russell Hunts before, you know, getting all the way to the end, but not being able to win because the social game is so important. And again, that's why I go back to, can Sandra win this mm-hmm. game? Because I don't think Sandra has a strong social game.
I don't know. Have you had any experiences with Sandra? This is just from watching her on television.
Oh yeah. Just from watching her own television. Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong. I mean, have you?
So I think that Sandra, that if she likes you, she likes you. And if she doesn't like you, she doesn't like you. I think that she's not fake. Okay. I think that's, you know, one of the things that you can say about her. Although she did give Tyson a fist bump right before she was going to vote him out. So I guess she can be a little fake. But for the most part, not unlike the first lady of podcasting, that if she likes you, she is, you know, very warm. And if she is not a fan, she usually doesn't hide that too much.
Right. Okay. Well,
she's authentic.
What I'm saying, she's authentic. Yes. Well, what I'm saying about Sandra, it's Sandra's authentic. But if I was out there playing with Sandra, what makes me nervous about Sandra is that she will flip things upside down just to flip them upside down.
Hmm.
Just, I think she gets I think she enjoys stirring it up. So that, like I said, that would make me nervous. I mean, we saw that the first couple of weeks when she was telling people things and going to tell people things that weren't true, but it plants seeds of doubt in people's minds. That's what scares me about Sandra. I mean, we saw Boston Rob do it last night.
Yes.
But Boston Rob, you know, what did he do? He went to Parvati and said, you know, should we bury him? Talking about Adam.
Yes, we definitely should.
Should we bury him? But you see,
I think Parvati does not care for Adam.
Well, I'm sure Parvati doesn't, but since Adam was gunning for,
she said she was going to spit his bones to Extinction Island last week.
Okay, well, and so you see, I mean, for the Rob father to play like that. Now, see, I admire that. He's on the bottom. I mean, that's part of the gameplay where I can see, but I guess the same thing. Maybe I shouldn't say it's fair for Rob to do it, but not for Sandra. But Rob seems to have a purpose where I feel like at times Sandra is just kind of doing it just to see what, she could do it and what she,
I think she thrives in the chaos. I think that, you know, when people are going after one another and then she's able to sort of like not have people saying her names, I think that that's when anybody but me really ends up being an effective strategy, where then she can, you know, jump in on whatever side needs her number once everybody is getting really crazy. For Rob, this is really an interesting spot for him to have to play from the bottom. And this is not a situation that he's been in many times in his Survivor career, maybe not since when he was playing in his very first season, and then maybe for like a couple days before he gets voted out in Heroes versus Villains. T-Bird, I know that you may have felt like that you were playing from the bottom at times. That what do you think is the key to being down in the numbers and trying to potentially and maybe subtly try to change things back in your favor?
Okay, Podfather. I didn't feel like I was on the bottom. I was on the bottom. I was on the bottom. You can't quit. You've always got to think of another option, another way to go. But I'll tell you what you can't do is, if you're trying to do that and you've got somebody like playing on my tribe was Brandon, where if you try to go to him, he's going to blow your game up like Sandra does. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about if I was playing with Sandra and I was on the bottom. It's kind of like what you said about Tony, Kim, and Sarah. Or didn't you say that they did not probably talk to Sandra?
I don't know. They did, and it wasn't on camera, which happens sometimes. Maybe they had a conversation with Sandra, and then there's nobody, that they weren't within, you know, earshot or eye shot of a camera. Or that they were scared that maybe Sandra was going to say something to Yule or Wendell, and then maybe they just did not go ahead and have that conversation.
Well, you just have to be careful because, for example, back in Africa, if I had told anybody like Brandon that I was the one going after Lex, who I was trying to weaken Lex, then that my whole gameplay would have been voted out a whole lot earlier. So you still have to change it up, but you have to work with the people that you think, kind of actually exactly what Tyson actually did, by going to people and say, you know, you need to keep me. I'm a shield. They're going to come after me. I mean, and Tyson kept playing to the very end, mm-hmm. which, of course, I love that. Just like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's swim on over to Edge of Extinction a minute. Okay. You know, hey, Podfather, do you remember the commercial back in the day? You know, we're old school. You know, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Sure,
do you remember
that?
Okay. So I found myself...
Would you give up a fire token?
Tune. There we go. What would you do for a fire token? So, I mean, look what these... I loved. So let me just say this right now, because I kept thinking about this. This is going to sound a little cheesy. However, when I was watching them take 20 trips up and down for 20 pieces of firewood, and they were working so hard. Now, remember, these four are... let's just say technically, for all purposes, somewhat sort of out of the game. Okay? It's not like they're in the game and they are literally killing themselves to try to get one fire token to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. I love these type of competitors, and these, you know, three of them are old school. Of course, Natalie is, she's amazing also. I've gained so much respect for her watching her play this time. But to watch Amber and to watch what Ethan's gone through, to watch Danny work as hard as they did for what? Only one person was going to get a fire token, right?
Oh, no, they were all going to get one. Everybody got one who did it.
Oh, everybody got it. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Natalie whoever won first. But then to watch Natalie and watch Amber fall apart once they did it, and, of course, watch it, Ethan, you know... I say this to any survivor. I want to see survivors that are out there playing just like mm-hmm. these four, never giving up. Quitting is not an option. So I really, really, really enjoyed watching that. And I'm so glad it took a lot of time for them to show us that, the first 10 or 20 minutes it was. But it was well worth it, because it shows this game is such a social game, and you get so caught up mm-hmm. when you're playing. And sometimes it's hard for the people at home to see the kind of emotional bonds that you form with these people. And we got to see that with these three helping Ethan.
Right.
It was really, really emotional. And it is true, too, that people will say, well, that's why Edge of Extinction isn't really, I hate to say, is it fair? Because I don't really like that term, is it fair? But if one of these people gets back in the, if one of these four get back in the game, or whoever comes back, Edge of Extinction gets in the game, and then the people sitting on the jury have now formed these different out of the game bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair for this person to come back who was out of the, you know, the actual game? That kind of brings up a really, really kind of good, valid mm-hmm. point.
Yeah. I was a little hard on this segment last night with Steven, talking about like, boy, it really went on a long time. But, you know, in the light of day, that there's no reward challenges so far this season. I mean, I think they're doing this right. If you're going to do the Edge of Extinction and spend time there, then just get rid of the reward challenge. This was way more interesting than anything that's going on in the reward challenges. So even though these are the people who are out of the game, this was, you know, a very memorable and inspiring thing to come out of that. That was better than we would have got to see people do an obstacle course to win tacos.
Yes, absolutely, definitely 100,000,000,000,000,000%. And two, Rob, I guess, like I say, you know, it's funny when the season is over, generally all these, you know, 18 or 20, however many people are out there playing together, there's such a strong bond. And you can see how just these four have created such a bond, and they're yeah. still, you know, playing against each other. But I thought it was really, really important to show that. And it shows, too, how difficult the game is. You know, so these four people are not just physically strong, but mentally, the perseverance they have is unbelievable. And you look at Ethan, the hardest thing is, as I'm watching it, I thought, oh, please, please, please don't tell me that Ethan's going to be medically evacuated, because that would crush him. He's such a competitor. Even back in Africa, he's such a competitor, marathoner. I mean, a professional athlete, you know, beat cancer twice. For him to have to go out that way and that he didn't, I was really, really nervous about that. And so I love the way it all pulled together and the other three helping him. It was just really a very heartwarming moment for definite sure. Oh, and you know what I loved? This, to me, so many great things happened during the show last night, but I loved the quote of the night. I have to give the quote of the night to Tyson. So when Tyson gets off at Edge of Extinction, he says, "You guys have so much firewood." I thought, oh, perfect. Touché.
Yeah, they're like, you don't even know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I'm sure when Tyson watched it back to see what they went through to get all this firewood, that's yeah. what made that quote even just priceless. Yeah.
And Tibra, I really think you're onto something in terms of the bond that gets made on the Edge of Extinction, especially when we bring in the element of the suffering, because I think that the communal experience that people go through when they go through something like this together is a bond that people, you know, carry with them more so than the people that are just out there playing the game. These people are going through something together, not unlike, and I say this all the time, that I think that you guys played in the hardest season in Survivor Africa. And that's why I think that so many of you are still so close to this day, the cast of Survivor Africa. Or Africa, as some people say.
God, you know what? Africa. God, you know, Rob, when I hear what you just said, and I think Probst has mentioned it in the past, about being the one, I kind of smile and think, awesome. I mean, how cool to be part of that. But it's all relative. It's all relative to what, if you have nothing to compare it to, which of course at this point I do not, unfortunately, then I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we were talking to Sean Rector about how difficult the environment was for their season in Marquesas. So, You know, it's all with the nay-nay bugs, the no-no bugs. What were those books called? The little boss. The no-no. Okay. The no. So it's still just, if that's all you know, that's all you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I think no matter what the environment's like, it's still, this game is psychologically taxing. Mm-hmm. It's, in my opinion, the game is harder. It's harder more psychologically than it is. And of course, with poor Adam with the Stockholm syndrome, he's probably going to agree with me now. But it's harder that way than it is physically. And it's very, I mean, you saw what they were doing. It's physically demanding. But I still think the mental game is much, much worse than the psychological game. Now, you can answer this, because I think this would be this is a good question to ask, because I can't speak on this. Is it harder to play this game when you know the people that you're playing with, since this is an all-winter season? A lot of these people know each other inside the game and outside the game. Hey, wait, what about the Poker Alliance? We haven't even talked about that. Is it harder to play with strangers, or is it harder to play with people that you know outside of the game or that you've played with before?
So I would say,
I don't know. What do you think? I think you can answer that one.
It's harder to play with strangers because I think you really just don't know anything. I think it's probably easier to play, even though I did better playing against strangers than playing against people. But I think that the players that come back now are a little more sophisticated than we were in Survivor All-Stars, where that in Survivor All-Stars, it's like, okay, well, I know this person. So, you know, that means something. When I think that the players who come back in this game kind of know what that means and what that doesn't. So familiarity is good, but it doesn't mean necessarily that person is always going to have your back. And so it might help like get the ball rolling. Or it's like, oh, I got to worry about these people because they know each other. So in a game where it's everybody is a stranger, I think it's actually a little trickier because you just don't know what people are about. And I feel like I'd rather have more information about the people that I'm going to play with.
Well, that makes sense because you see how Ethan, you know, was with Parvati. He wasn't going to turn on Parvati.
Never.
He just wasn't.
Yeah.
So never. I believe never. And so, you know, you're right. And there's some people, if I was able to play again and I think about being out there with particular okay, I'll give you an example right now. Okay, so if I was playing out there with Lex, or if I was playing out there with the Podfather, I mean, it would be very difficult for me because, I mean, I have such a good relationship, an amazing relationship with Lex. And I know what a competitor he is. I don't know if it would weaken his game or if he would, you know, or and the same thing with you. If I was out there playing with you, Rob, you know, we've developed such a relationship. How do you go out there and forget everything that the past history you have together and play a game where I think that's what Boston Rob did when he played with All Stars with Lex, which is why it was so hard for Lex to get over that. So, yeah, you kind of weaken yourself. And that's what I said about Ethan. Ethan was weakened when he started out the game with Parvati especially. And then, of course, Parvati is linked to Boston Rob. He was in deficit already because of that and because he's a loyal guy. All right. So, Rob, I think this is time to bring in our big, 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 big surprise for the listeners. So, today, we are joined by a survivor loved by so many fans around the world. We were all introduced to this larger-than-life goat cattle farmer from Rich Valley, Virginia in Season 3, Africa, and then again in Survivor All-Stars Season 8. He currently still holds the record for the most weight loss, over 80 pounds, of any survivor player. Also, until Amanda Kimmel on Micronesia, he held the record for most days played in a survivor career with 73 days. He also has a history with Ethan, Boston Rob, and Amba, and knows all about loyalty and betrayal. What most people don't realize is I actually came in contact a few months before the taping of Survivor Africa with this amazing guy. I'm excited to bring to you the RHAP listeners, my very, 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 very good friend, my sly, cunning as a fox friend, Big Tom.
Wow, what an introduction.
Hey, I don't know if I can live up to that. What is this girl calling me about? I mean, I must owe somebody some money down there.
Is this a telemarketing call?
No, T-Bird, I didn't know she was going to call me today, but I'm glad she did. Anytime I hear from her or any of the guys, it's always a good thing. Yeah.
Well, Tom, we're really glad that you made some time to talk with us about everything that's going on. We really want to hear, of course, what you're up to and what you thought about this season so far. First, so what's new with you, Tom? Anything?
Not really. I live on a little farm up here. We keep about 800 to 1,000 head of cattle. I'm just an old farm boy and just living the dream, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's so great to hear your voice, Tom. I miss you.
Well, good. I tell you, what have you been doing?
Just the same old over here. I've got about 800 podcasts that I'm working on over here, living the dream.
Well, listen, did you watch that show last night?
Yeah, I saw it. what'd you make of it? It looked like that Ethan was really in some trouble with going up and down that hill, Tom.
Well, if I could have kept him on this farm long enough, when he comes down to visit me, and I could have worked him on this farm, and he would have been, I'd have had him in a little better shape. Even though, by being a farmer and looking at cattle all the time, I noticed he was limping a little bit. And I think they said he cut his foot, but I think he's limping. And so I didn't know if he was had hurt his leg, but I think he cut his foot out there or something. But I was proud of him. I've been tickled with old Ethan. He's made me proud. He was farm boy tough.
Yeah. Big Tom, were you surprised that they voted Ethan out last week?
Oh, my teeth about fell out. Yes. I thought Ethan was snuggling under the radar. He was doing the usual Ethan thing, and oh, man. And when they did, it broke my heart.
So, hey, Big Tom, I want to ask you a question. I know how you felt about Boston Rob when you played with him on All-Stars. So I think everybody will probably remember when you reached out your hand for him to shake it, you pulled your hand back and you said, "Don't be stupid, stupid."
Yeah, I did.
What do you think about Ethan?
The character, there's a whole lot of different character with Ethan and it is Rob. Rob, I feel like after being on Survivor with Rob, I found out he'd probably steal from his grandmother, I wouldn't let Boston Rob in the house without a camera on him or something. I think he would pick up something, but his characters, he's just a little bit different than ever, than I'm used to. He told more lies than my old girlfriend did, that's part of it. He's doing well. They keep him coming there. So, that's just not the way, especially the earlier guys, when we played Survivor, I was on some of the season three, and, it was not that much manipulation, and boy, that was a big word, wasn't it, T-Bird, for me?
It was. was.
I said it, but I can't smell it. But what I'm saying, the game has changed, and you know, I was more of honor and stuff, and you know, it's just I'm just not. You know, and I'm sure Rob don't live that the way he plays the game, and he's done well at it. So I'm not going to be a hater.
Tom, what do you think of the way that seems like that people are saying, like, hey, I want to keep Rob in the game and then hide behind him because that he'll be a big target and that they'll come for him before they come for one of us?
I think it's, hey, hell far, about to get run over by a train here coming through here. Hey, but I think, oh, Lordy, that train. Oh, no, hell.
Tom,
hey,
be careful.
They told bugs and everything waving at me. But anyway, I was going to tell you that. What did you ask me? I don't forgot.
They're hiding behind Rob. What do you think of that? And they're keeping him in the game.
Well, I'll tell you, I think they've got Rob sitting out there. And see, Rob wants to drive the airplane. So,
or the
so
train.
He's in the pilot. Yeah, he's in the pilot seat. Well, he's wanting to drive. He's the man. So, but I think that will, you know, that's cutting his throat as he goes because they're going to vote him off because he's too, well, he's too bossy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, he's bossier than my wife. And I read, I went on the Survivor to get away from her, bossing me around. So, and what the hell you say? And so I'm thinking, he's telling them do this, do that, and all that, and he's kind of running the show. But hey, he's already down to two or three, and I think Ethan was playing him like a fiddle. But he got, and I was saying it all along. I said, "Oh, Ethan, you're in a good spot," but I don't know.
Big Tom, I have to ask you this. You just made a comment that back in the day, the old school, Season 3 Africa, that it wasn't quite as cutthroat. Now, you, Ethan, and Lex did a handshake agreement that y'all were going to the end. And I just have to say this, knowing all three of you like I do, if you played now in the new school days, I cannot imagine that you, Ethan, and Lex still wouldn't do a gentleman's agreement because that's the kind of guys you are. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
Well, I'll tell you, people ask me about them, and I'll tell you right now, you know, we still got Lex and Ethan and me still got all the lines. it's in life. When Ethan found out he had cancer, I was one of the first ones he called. Lex, when something happens to him, Lex calls me every Sunday to see what do I have for Sunday dinner, you know, up my mom's, T-Bird, you know how that is. And so Lex calls me every Sunday. And Ethan, anytime there's something going on or something, me and him keep in touch. But we still got an alliance to this day, but it's a lifelong alliance.
Yeah.
Oh man, it is so much better than everything. Uh-huh.
So Big Tom, if you played for a third time, would you still play a straight up game like the way you are, the kind of guy you are, a gentleman's handshake? Because I think you would. Would you?
Well, I think I would because I just had a hard time. I've lived my whole life up here in a small town that you word you bond, and it's so even out there. You know, I would try to do little things, but still, it come back. I can still see my 85-year-old mother pointing her finger at me. But you know, the game has changed a lot, and I'm glad I played early. And you know, I would have a hard time now. I really would.
No, Tom, is that something that you would want to do? Are you interested in playing again?
I'm 64. I don't think if they have an old timers reunion or something, or something like that, I would. But I think I'd be more. I think I'll go on Naked and Afraid. I think that'd be my next move.
Hey, Podfather, did you know that Big Tom actually had a show on the National Geographic Channel called Family Beast?
Yes, I did know that. Yes, yes, I talked to Tom when it was on.
Yeah. Anyway, but you know, I am all you know. I've enjoyed the biggest thing that's happened to me is, T Bird, you know, Lex, Ethan, all the guys that I was on there with or have met. You know, we are still lifelong friends, and I don't know. You know, there's very few that I came in contact that we still ain't. You know, it just opened a new world to me. I traveled for 7 years after I checked.
Yeah. Tom, what did you think about Amber being back on this season? And do you think that she got a raw deal?
Well, she did when she got married. She sure did. That was the biggest raw deal she got. But she's got to live with that. I don't. But
Tom,
I enjoyed Amber. You know, you know, that's just the way she had the monkey on her back. And so I said, oh, no. So, it happens to the best of us, right?
So you gave Amber your vote. She got your vote at All-Stars, right? I got a feeling you did not vote for Boston Rob. Is that right?
Yeah. I always liked Amber. I just think when I was playing, you know, Amber would have been one of my allies, but she fell in love. Mm-hmm. And it proved to be, you know, they're still together, which is, must be a good thing. But
hey, Big Tom, you were the first person to say that. I remember way back when you used to tell me all the time that you said, Rob and Amber are going to have the Survivor baby. And do you remember what you said they were going to name it?
No.
You said they're going to have a Survivor baby, and they're going to name it Crowbar. Why Crowbar?
Well,
You called it.
But I'm bigger.
They didn't name any of them Crowbar, though.
No, they didn't. They didn't name it Crowbar. I don't know why the hell they didn't, but they had four of them, and I'm sure, and they're pretty. But Amber's pretty woman. She just had a... So everybody makes mistakes, but I've been married 41 years, and... Well, I think they've been married long enough to have four little girls, they say. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still going strong there for Rob and Amber from, and we were there when it got started. We got to watch the romance blossom, Tom.
That's right. Yeah. I may have killed the fire. I'm saying, she probably looked at me and said, oh, hell, what a guy like her. And then this kind of rubbed off, and she just, everybody makes mistakes. I can't blame Amber for screwing up. But she's probably doing good now. I mean, I think she's worked it out. Ain't you?
Yeah, I think so. Tom, I couldn't believe it that we were there, and that the first day we were on the beach, and then they were sitting together, and then he had his arm around her. I was like, well, this is happening? This is for real? I said, this is a big mistake.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, yeah. I said, what in the world am I over here? It's hotter than that. And they was over there doing kissing to not tail, right? So, yeah. So
this is going to put a big target on their back.
That's my luck.
Yeah. What do I know?
I have a question for you as far as, because you and Rob both played with Richard Hatch and with Tina. So I'd like to get actually your opinion and Podfather, your opinion too, on why do you think that there was no Richard Hatch or no Tina Wesson out there at Winners at War, and are you disappointed that they are not out there?
I surely was with Tina. Tina Wesson is she's in the girlfriend category of mine. She's like T-Bird to me. She's one of the best things that came out of Survivor is the friends I made, and she's one of them. I don't know why she went there, but now Richard Hatch, Lord have mercy, you know, I can't say that about him. Me and him's got a lot of, either way, he was next. And so it was surprising, and but, you know, I've done a few events with Richard Hatch and with his clothes on, and it seemed to me, you know, we got along pretty good. But Tina Wesson is top of the line. I don't know why she went on there. I think, you know, I just don't know. But I love her.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I talked to Tina a couple of weeks ago, and she had said that she got a phone call early on, and then they just never ended up, you know, following up with her. And so I think she doesn't even know exactly what it was, but I just think that maybe they wanted to go with people that were either younger or more recent, and I think that that's ultimately why they didn't go with Tina. But I think that it's terrible that they didn't get her out there for this, because she wanted to do it.
Yeah, well, me too. Yeah. Well, youngers, you know, it's just like a car. We, you know, when we was brand new once, and now we're getting older, and we're not, I'm finding out, you know, we're just not, we're available, but nobody wants an old beat up car, right? But Tina Wesson is, oh, I guarantee she would have done well, because she rides bicycles and turns back flips and wallers and jumps and runs flips and jogs and all. Yeah. And so I'd like T-Bird, she can run and do all that. And here I am, I'm on a farm just hopping around, but, well, they may have an old timers game and put me in it.
T-Bird, how many trips up the hill could you do to get the logs?
Oh, I would have got 20 plus the 4 to help Ethan.
You would have helped Ethan.
So
you would have
24.
Got Ethan's down.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
How about you? Hey, Big Tom, how many trips would you have? How many trips would you made up the hill?
I could have made every one of them, and I would have helped Ethan. I'd have got mine and went back and helped Ethan carry his. And I know T-Bird would too. We got a soft heart, and I guarantee that we just would have done it. And so, no problem.
What about you, Podfather? How many would you have made?
Oh, at least 2 or 3, I think.
When I was doing Survivor, I never ran a lick and never did nothing. I just went, got on the plane, flew in there, and everybody was talking about how they've been running and stuff. I come straight off the farm. I didn't even know what I was doing. So, but I did all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Hey, so I got a question, Big Tom, for you and for Rob. So you guys played together in All-Stars. Of course, Rob was voted out day 12. I'm sorry, Rob, I had to bring that up. And Big Tom, you made it to day 36. Uh-huh. If you guys had made it, if you had stayed in longer, Rob, would you and Big Tom, because you started on the same tribes together, did y'all have an alliance when y'all started out? Would y'all have
ask
bonded?
Tom,
would
ask
you have
Tom
been on the same team?
No.
All right, Tom, answer it.
I wanted, if anybody would have wanted to work with me, that would have been great for me. Please.
Big Tom, you didn't want to work with Rob?
Yes, I would. Me and Rob, we never had a problem out there. We were big buddies.
I loved being out there with Tom. I really enjoyed. I know Tom didn't always enjoy Sue, but I had so much fun with Tom. Sue would make me laugh. Rob is fun to be around when you're out there. It was a bunch of big personalities that were out there with us.
It was a nightmare. But anyway, I haven't heard from Sue for years. That's the way I felt about Sue. Hey, yeah. Rob, what are you doing? I want to know what do you do now?
So I've been, doing the same thing that I was doing then. I just bother survivor people and ask them a bunch of questions about what's going on with this crazy show.
Yeah, well, it's still going on, and I'm proud to be part of it. And also, just with you, you were one of my favorites too. You just can't believe what a difference it makes in your life to have, these phone calls come in all the time. Say, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Jesse Camacho ain't called me in a while, and boy, that was better than winning Survivor, been on the tribe with her, right?
Yeah, Big Tom, I had Clarence call me recently.
Yes, I did a thing in Vegas, and I was walking around, and this good looking guy, and it was Clarence. He was doing a, I don't know what you call it, but. I was standing there. I don't know. He was selling vacuum cleaners or something. I forgot now, but I saw him in Vegas at a trade show.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I was selling whatever they paid me. They was paying me. They flew me out there and set me out there, and I was chirping like a chicken out there. I was just whatever. I said, oh, yeah, this is a good one. That's all I know. That was my line. Oh, yeah, this is a good one right here. But Clarence, I think he was selling value cleaners. I can't remember.
Big Tom, do you think that Ethan can get back into the game from the edge of extinction?
I think so. I hope so. I'm thinking, now Ethan, he ain't like me. Now, he ain't no dummy. Ethan's smart, and he's playing a good game, and he can wiggle around there, Amber's liable to help him a little bit. She's a big fan of Ethan, I'm thinking there might be things might come around. So I've still got hope for Ethan to get back in there. So because he didn't really step on no toes. And so I'm thinking that might be things may be looking up for the old boy.
Big Tom, last week I talked to another old friend of yours. I talked to Rupert.
Yeah, Rupert. Yeah, he blew up onion sack. Yeah. But and I hope it's all well with the Rupert.
Yeah, everything was good. Yeah, he was watching along with all of this craziness too, with all these different people that he knows from his seasons too.
Right, right.
Hey Rob, wait a minute, wait. I'm a country girl. Big Tom, I'm a country girl. What does blow up?
I don't think we
want to
know, T Bird. I don't think we want to know.
Never heard that before. I do want to know.
Well,
I gotta know.
Well, if you want to know how good Ethan, how good Rupert is, just ask him. That's kind of, you took John Horn, and I'd always laugh at Rupert, I didn't have to ask you how you're doing. You know, because he would tell me. But, you know, everybody's different. And, you know, a goat farmer like me now, I'm equivalent to a third grade speller, and I can't even write down their names and spell it right. So what the hell do I know, right?
Hi, Big Tom, you don't remember just a few minutes ago, I did your introduction, and I finished your introduction by saying that you were sly / cunning as a fox. You are so intelligent. Hey, you can't pull that with me. I know you.
He doesn't want anybody to know
smart.
That, T-Bird.
Well, I know, but he keeps saying stuff about him.
Yeah.
She's a retired school teacher, and she got mad and tested me, and I'm equivalent to a third grade speller. Now, I don't know why I can't spell, but I can read, I can write. I just can't spell, and I think I invented texting, because that's the way I do everything, because I can't spell a lick. And I just got a glitch, and I had to tell Jeff Prog a few times that he would stand by me and tell me what I wrote. You know, I'd have to tell him on some of them because I couldn't spell it.
Yeah. You know how to spell Rob C, though.
That's an easy one
to spell.
Ouch!
I didn't say I was stupid. I said I couldn't spell.
Yeah, okay. Well, a third grader could spell that, I guess.
Yeah. I'm pretty good with a three or four letter word.
Big Tom, is there anybody else that you know that's out there on this show? Have you run into any of these other people?
Oh, no, but one that I... Oh, what is it? Oh man, my mind left me. That good looking girl,
Parvati. You know Parvati. Parvati.
Yeah.
You were at the wedding,
and I know her.
Yeah. But
basically, that's about all I know. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of all of them. Well, one thing, they won $1 million, and I would really. I still sometimes wake up and think I want it when I get up here on this farm spending money. I wish that I needed more.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Big Tom, I know you met Parvati at Ethan's wedding, but what do you think about Parvati and her gameplay? And she's got a lot of charisma. What do you think about her gameplay?
Well, she's got a lot going, but yeah, she's going to have to get more people and that's the little secret in there. You don't really know who all they got, you know, that's kind of on the scene. But, you know, I think she's going to have to get more together to make this thing work. But like I said, what about Adam?
Oh, yeah. Well, right now he's suffering from the Stockholm Syndrome. That's all we know.
he just jumped over the boat. I mean, he just went overboard. But then you got Rob there. You know, he didn't do his homework. He should have known better than to tell Rob anything. Did he not watch the seasons before? What the hell? What was he doing? Sleeping?
Even Rob said, "Hey, I thought this guy is supposed to see all these shows. Did he not know? You don't tell me the plan."
Well, that's what I'm saying. He pulled up and said, and I was just saying, now you got a little bit of that northern mustard there. Hey, that hot dog had mustard on it, and he should have known better. If you get a chance, tell him to call me. He can call Collect and tell him to call me, and I'll let him know in case there's another time. What the hell is going on?
I'll give him your number.
Hey, Big Tom.
Uh-huh.
Big Tom, what do you think about all these puzzles they're doing now? Could you do these puzzles that they're throwing out there, that Propes is throwing out there for them?
Puzzles? Oh, my gosh. What the hell are they doing puzzles for? When I was a little boy, I couldn't even do a puzzle.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I ever seen. Hey, let them do some physical and stuff. But, oh, man, when they started doing, when I was playing and they did a puzzle, I knew right then they wanted to vote me out. I said, Mark Burnett hates me. I said, he's going to try to vote me out. They're doing another puzzle. And everybody in the world knows that I can't do a puzzle. Or what do you call that, TikTok?
Sudoku?
Well, they do it in the paper.
Crossword?
You put letters in like the words.
Yeah.
Crossword, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So I said, well, come on, Mark Burnett, do something else I can't do. Have a spelling bee.
Big Tom, do you like the fire tokens?
The fire?
Tokens.
Oh, I thought you said smoking. I was like
smoking?
Well, I'm a little over smoking now. But that token, hell, it's worrying me to death. I would have been out there and thought it was money and probably saved it. But no, I just think it's another thing you got to cipher on. Those tokens that are going to come in great. If you can get them and keep them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really know. I'm worried about them tokens, but I'm anxious to see how they play at the end. Yeah.
Hey, Rob, let me ask Big Tom. So, Big Tom, the puzzle last night, because Rob and I were kind of having a discussion about this. You know how this other team came back and won the puzzle, did the great puzzle comeback?
I know why now.
Do you think the other side, Nick and Sarah, threw the challenge on the puzzle?
Let me tell you something. I'm glad that Rob got that because he has screwed up all the other ones before. And, of course, he wanted to be in there. And he jumped in front of all of them, said he'd do. And I was glad that he finally cut because he had egg on his face from the other ones that he screwed up. But now he did that puzzle
real quick.
And yeah, I mean, I got to give him credit where credit's due now. Yeah, but I don't understand. The other ones just kind of got in there and hit a dance bell and just threw their hands down. And I would have been panicking, throwing stuff everywhere. But it looked like it was a hell of a comeback, and I just couldn't believe it.
Did you think that was a challenge throw though, Tom?
Do you think they threw them?
I don't know. We were talking about that before.
They quit. So, obviously, they either wanted to vote somebody out there or, it was a ploy. But something happened that they just, I don't know. Okay. But I think that we're going to find out a little later on that there was more to that puzzle as far as that puzzle is going to come back to haunt them because I think they've played that for something. Now, I don't know what it is.
Big Tom, did you ever run into Sandra? Do you have any thoughts on Sandra?
Sandra needs to get in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
And have her. Have somebody push her around if they had a pack of cigarettes, she could sit there and smoke a pack of cigarettes while she ain't feeling nothing. She never has, as long as I've ever been around. She ain't ever done nothing. But the good thing about it, she's got that evil look, and she's got the evil thoughts. So she ain't one to tarry on, you know what I'm saying? I'd bring her a bag of cookies every chance I got, but she ain't going to do nothing in challenge. I'd throw her in the water and let her swim back every now and then, keep her in shape.
Big Tom, could you shape her up? Could you shape her up there on the farm?
Oh man, I don't know. I think she'd be more of she'd be sitting on the sideline telling me how to farm because she ain't working. I'm the laziest woman I believe I've ever seen.
Hey, Big Tom, would you align with somebody like Sandra, or would you have to vote her out? What do you think? Would you keep her around?
By saying it, Sandra's smart, but I couldn't keep her around because, I've been bossed off. That bossing stuff is for the is when you're on the big job. And Survivor ain't a job, and I wouldn't want her boss me around. And her sitting on a sitting still, she won't even stoke the fire up. She's the queen, and she ain't my queen. I'd overthrow the throne. She was in my castle.
Okay. All right. T-Bird, any other questions for Big Tom?
Big Tom, no. Big Tom, thank you so much. I know the listeners are going to be thrilled to hear from you, and you know I love talking to you any chance I get.
No, as far as me playing the game, I don't think there's they have a, you know, old man's event, you know, or picking up old ladies and driving them to town or something like that, or help walking them across the street. About all I'm fit for. I'm, like I said, it's a young man's game. But if they had one, Mark Burnett don't want me. I'm too handsome.
Is that what it is?
Right.
Hey, I got to give me. Hey, Rob, send me a toupee. I got in Japan one time and found one at a flea market, and my wife caught a law on me. Thought I'd broke it. Thought it was somebody else coming in. Well, T Bird knows. I wore that thing.
T Bird, have you seen Big Tom with a toupee on?
Oh yes. I'll try to find a picture and send it to you. Is it okay, Big Tom? I'm going to send Rob the picture. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Did he pull it off? Hey, was it a good look, T-Bird?
Oh, it was. No. I'll let you judge for yourself.
Yeah. It was at the flea. I got it at the flea market, and I looked like Captain Kangaroo.
Kangaroo, that's what he is. Yes, that's exactly right. Captain Kangaroo.
But I want to tell you, Rob, yes. I'd love for you to come up my way and visit my little place and kick back when you're not working, and anybody else that we try to feed everybody.
Yeah, what will we do, Tom?
Come up there and I'll be there. Yeah,
yeah, tell me about it. What will we do on the farm?
Well, I try to make people come and visit me, and then I make them work.
Yeah,
you know? Get some free labor, and I will.
It's like the edge of extinction.
Lex, oh yeah, Lex is—he's good work. He comes every summer and brings Corbin, and he works, and he just works up a thing. And Ethan's not too good a worker, and on the farm, but it's good to have everybody up there. A little bit of cow shit on your feet goes a long way.
Hey, Big Tom, what about Johnny Fairplay? Is he a good worker when he comes?
Lord knows, he's a pain in the butt. But he did. He is one that does come up and see me. But I would have never believed that me and him would be big buddies. But I guess one reason, because I've sent him all anything he can sell on eBay. I've sent him. He's like a Pied Piper. Johnny Fairplay, my hero. And nobody would room with him, and they'd throw him in there with me. Oh, my God. Yeah, so be like rooming with a pet monkey. He was on the phone. He was doing stuff. And I'd act like I was asleep, but Lord help me. I was like, boy, you want to have a good weekend? I bet.
All right.
So, Big Tom, there's a chance that you're friends with Johnny Fairplay, that you and Boston Rob can actually become friends at some point.
Yeah, there's always hope. There's always hope. I move him down here, and we may have to. And I think Amber may help me make the move. Reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she could sugarcoat him. She'd have to sugarcoat him a little bit for me, and she knows it. And maybe we could work it out. But things is looking bad right now.
Yeah.
Oh man, but listen, y'all are welcome. I know Rob, you need to come see me, and I've enjoyed spreading my thoughts on things, and but I just want to tell you, okay. All right, well listen, thank y'all for giving me a call. T-Bird, I love you, and Rob, come see me, my friend, we'll run into each other sometime, and I hope you come to see me.
Tom, I always love getting to hear from you, and thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Hey, all righty. Next time I might be a wizard. I'll be able to spell and study. I'm thinking about. I think I'll be the wizard that everybody wanted me to be, you know. But right now I'm still a dumb old farmer goat man. So listen, love y'all, and I see you over and out.
Love you, Big Tom. I love you.
Okay.
All right, man.
All right, Big Tom. Talk to you later.
Over and out, Big Tom.
Right, bye. T-Bird, what a surprise for everybody.
Yes. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I'm wondering. When he said, what are you doing now, Rob? Oh, my gosh. I'm taken back to your interview with Clarence.
Yes.
About the whole podcast.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Doesn't work out. So when Big Tom asked what you're doing now, all I could think of, because he said he was saying all this stuff, I thought probably he's going to be into a lot of editing for this podcast is what he's going to be doing. I don't even know. I'll let you figure that one out.
Yeah. This Baran tribe, they show up here and all hell breaks loose on the podcast. All right. T-Bird, I have questions for you from the listeners. Do you still have time to answer some questions?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do we want to talk about that we haven't gotten to? Tommy Guam wants to know, would T-Bird spend her fire tokens on popcorn?
Ooh, Tommy. Hey, Tommy. Tommy, I got to say, even when I was playing in Africa, I know, Tommy, I mean, maybe you're kind of sort of kidding. Maybe you're kind of sort of kidding. But
popcorn's not very filling.
I don't remember. No, it's not. And I would be wanting to get back in the game so badly that, you know, I would hold on to my money. I know, believe it or not, when I was in Africa and we were doing the food challenge, I was holding on to my money then, and I ended up coming back with all this African money. I don't know what it's called. African money is what I called it. But anyway, so no, Tommy, I'd be holding on trying to get back in the game.
Yeah. Okay. And then Edward Morris wants to know, when you were voted out in Africa or Africa, who should you have bequeathed your fire tokens to?
Oh, boy. Okay. So, Edward. Oh, God, that's a great question. So I was the last one from my tribe, so I would have had to have given it to someone else. Mama Kim, wouldn't have given it to Mama Kim. Oh, Big Tom, Ethan, oh, Lex. Oh, gosh, that's a great, I would for sure have given it to, not Mama Kim, would I have given it to Big Tom, Ethan, or Lex? Would I have given it to Lex? Okay, probably Big Tom.
Okay.
Oh, well, we didn't even touch on this. Big Tom and I actually met. Oh, man, I meant to ask Tom about this. We actually were at the same interview place in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Months before we got cast in L.A. Yeah. But anyway, so I remember seeing him there. And, of course, somebody like Big Tom, because remember, like even Big Tom said, he was a big guy because he lost 80 pounds in Africa. So you can imagine what a big guy Tom was, you know, in his overall. So anyway, I thought that was interesting that him and I actually came in contact with each other on our very, very first interview.
Okay.
Okay. Good question, Edward.
All right. Then let's see. Ivan wants to know, who surprised you the most so far this season, T-Bird?
All right, Ivan. All right. Now I'm looking at my list. All right. So Ivan, can I just say more than one? Okay. So Adam surprised me in that he's, you know, really out there playing hard. Because like I said, I just remembered liking him during his season and thought he kind of played behind, you know, didn't play out really, really hard. Didn't seem like he is this time. I was really impressed with Amber, even though she's on edge of extinction, watching her climb for those 20 logs, those 20 trips. So I was really impressed with her. Let's see who else is really playing. Michelle. I'm really impressed with Michelle, how she looks like she's taking charge and, you know, teaching the Adam a lesson. And, you know, so. And then really, well, I guess that's enough. Ivan wanted one. I gave him more than one. But I guess that I was impressed with Sarah, although, you know, how she played last week, sneaking to the other camp, but that really doesn't surprise me about her. I mean, I'm liking so much of the gameplay with so many of these people, but, you know, they're all winners, so expectations are high. Mm-hmm.
This is a question from Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. Yule's Alliance seems to be on a tear. What's going to stop them, T-Bird?
All right, so say, what's Michael's question again?
Yule's Alliance is doing so well right now. What can stop them?
A mix-up? Yeah. A tribe mix-up?
A swap,
yeah. Which is getting ready. Yeah. So, but you know what? They've made it to day 11. Weren't they celebrating that they were like a third of the way through? So,
yeah. Yule's waking everybody up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he say? Something about celebrating the happy times are just as important as war times. I really like that. I like Yule. Mm-hmm. I like what a likable guy. He's
sure.
A really, really likable. And he's old school. I love that too.
Okay. T-Bird, then a question from Jack Brinkley. Was it a smart call for Sandra to not make the move to vote out Nick and just go with the group to vote out Tyson, or should she have been in on the move to vote out Nick?
Well, again, I think with Sandra, I think a lot she comes from an emotional gameplay, and I still think she was not happy that, you know, that Tyson was coming after her. So I still think Nick would have been probably the best one, because I keep thinking and hoping, although I don't think this is going to happen, that some of these old school players are going to try to come together, like with Parvati, Boston Rob, Sandra, Yule, and pull it together. But as we're losing one each week after week after week, it's going to be harder to see. But I think if Sandra, that's what I'm saying. A lot of times I think, Jack, that egos run so high, especially with an all-winter season or players that have played before. I think the egos are so big that they can't see past the best move for them. And, Jack, I'll tell you the example that I also give is when Parvati and Ethan and Boston Rob let Danny go. That, to me, was one of the biggest mistakes for the old school. They needed Danny. They could have brought Danny into them. But Parvati had her feelings hurt that Danny had mentioned her name. Parvati could have turned it around, pulled her in, and that would have changed everything. So egos play a big part of this, and I think that's what happened with Sandra.
Ego does play a big part of it, but I go back to like the David Wright rule, which is the, you know, it's who do I trust versus who do I not trust? If Sandra doesn't trust Tyson, she has to cross now, you know, four people. Usually it would just be three, but Nick would go to the edge of extinction and then know that, okay, Sandra voted against him, that she potentially makes an enemy now out of Yule and Sophie and Wendell, who she had she had been working with to cross them. That whole group ends up making enemies out of everybody. And then to save Tyson, who, yeah, he's a big threat and potentially is a shield, but the swap is also around the corner, and she could end up on a tribe with, you know, Sophie and Yule and or Wendell and these people that she just voted against. So for Sandra, I just don't know if the upside was there to keep Tyson, who, yes, he is a bigger target than Nick is, but then she still is part of a group where she just voted together in a majority with everybody. So I can understand why Sandra doesn't feel like that's in her best interest to keep Tyson around.
And actually, we all know that that's usually Sandra's strategy, is stay with the group that's voting, whoever they're voting out. Stay with the numbers. So, yeah, that's very true. Yeah. It was a good question,
Jack. Good question.
Oh, another thing too, Rob. Sandra does have an idol, right?
She expires next week. Yeah, one more. If she goes to tribal council.
Okay, so be interesting to see if that comes into play at all.
Okay. All right. How about this question from Shanna Carroll, who says, what are your feelings about how the system rewards losers. The earlier you're voted out, the more likely you are to rack up the fire tokens. And for the most part, the voted out person is going to bequeath to someone on their own tribe, hence giving the losing tribe an advantage. Is Survivor taking a page from Mario Party and giving the ones to the last place extra coins? So I know that you are probably a big Mario Party fan, T-Bird. But do you think that, like, for Natalie, she was the first person out, but she's had the best chance to get all the fire tokens, and then the tribe that's been losing, they tend to get their fire tokens sent back to people that they know from their tribe. So is this actually been a season where it incentivizes you to do bad?
Oh gosh, Shanna, that question is so, it's a great, good, great involved question, and Rob, you're gonna have to help me with this. I haven't seen enough to realize what these fire tokens are going to do yet. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen it before. I know, you know, how interesting it was and how shocked I was to see Tyson give Nick the fire token, that the hero worship flattery worked. So I don't know. I mean, Natalie still, I mean, she won by figuring out that puzzle with the necklace. How impressive was that? So that, I mean, it's also skill also, and I guess we want to see skill out there as far as getting fire tokens to get back in. But gosh, Anna, that's such a good question, and hopefully we can kind of look at that again at the end of the season when I've got a little more information and see how these fire tokens play out. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I guess we have to see how it's going to play out, and just how big of an advantage it's going to be if Natalie ends up buying an advantage for the at the challenge to get back in. If it's like, oh wow, that was the difference. So I mean, it was Natalie had three fire tokens, and that's why she's back in the game as opposed to somebody who gets voted out the day before the challenge with no fire tokens. Right? I mean, right now the fire tokens have not played any impact whatsoever. We haven't seen anybody buy anything either on the edge or in the game with a fire token.
So what's going to happen, or do we even know? At the end, whoever has the most fire tokens buys back into the game?
No, the fire tokens allow people to buy advantages in the challenge to get back in. So I think for three fire tokens, you can buy an advantage. You could buy a tarp in the game. You can buy food. So you can cash out the fire tokens to buy stuff, but everybody's holding on to that money real tight.
But if you can only use one fire token to try to buy a clue or challenge to get back in the game.
I think it's three to buy an advantage in the challenge.
Oh, three. Yeah. But it's still just an advantage to try to get back in. And then I still think, Shanna, I still think there's a disadvantage because they've come from Edge of Extinction where they've been voted out of the game. So they're going to have to get past the players saying, well, they were out of the game. You know, I don't know if we'll see it happen like we did with Chris again, where somebody comes back from Edge of Extinction and wins. I think there's just so much unknown right now with all that.
Yeah. T-Bird, anything else about this Survivor season that you want to talk about?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I've always enjoyed the series and the show, but it seems like this season with the editing, the way they're doing a lot of the challenges, everything's been stepped up a whole lot. And it's not just because of the players. I just like a lot of stuff that they've done with this season. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it and looking forward to, you know, to seeing how it plays out.
Did you ever have a moment that was like we saw with Ethan, where he had to really push himself to keep continuing to go back up and down the steps? Did you ever have anything that was like that during your time in Africa?
Africa? No, no, not that I can remember. I mean, I don't know if we've seen such a strenuous, I guess it was a challenge, even though it was Edge of Extinction. I don't think we've seen any like that for a long time, you know? So, but again, I like to see them pushed physically and mentally. And I love to see how these players, again, that are already on Edge of Extinction, not even actually still in the game for now, how hard they're pushing themselves. It really, to me, just shows their character. And again, I say, these are the kind of people, these are the kind of players I want to see cast. The kind that will never say die, that will push all the way through. So I'm loving
okay. it. Okay. T-Bird, do you have any stories about, have you ever run into Boston Rob?
Well, let me see. I have actually, I met Boston Rob at one of the earlier fundraisers. Mm-hmm. Wait, I don't really have a story right there I want to share right now.
Tell. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, there's a part of me that wants to, yeah. but then there's another side that says leave it alone.
Okay.
So I guess
a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. I think Big Tom has said enough for Boston Rob for now. I don't need to add to my story.
Okay.
At all.
All right. T-Bird, what's your Survivor ritual like? What do you do for the episodes?
Okay. Well, usually I'm running crazy like everybody else, and you think 8 o'clock comes around, you know, you've got till 8 o'clock, but I'm usually running on two wheels, running in the house, throwing things like I did last mm-hmm. night. Plus, I know that you and I are going to, you know, recap it today. So I especially know I want to try to watch it in real time. And I like to watch it in real time too, because I like to tweet. You know, tweet about it. It's always been a lot of fun for me. So, but usually just running in on two wheels.
Okay.
Throwing myself down, you know, hoping my iPad's charged
and
up.
Do you watch it alone, or do you have members of your family that want to watch it with you?
Well, sometimes I'll watch it with my mom and a group of people, but here lately it seems like it's been, you know, I watch it with Glenn. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not quite into it as much as I am, but he's coming along
pretty
good.
Well, who's into it as much as you are?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good point.
Do you make the popcorn
good point.
When you are going to watch the Survivor episode, or is that just for the podcast?
Just for the podcast. Okay. Did you hear me? Did you hear me smacking on?
I heard at one point. I couldn't help it. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I even though I know I'm being a rule breaker, I'm not trying to actually really be a rule breaker, but I was kind of hungry and I had it here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, he's not going to know I'm doing it because Big Tom is distracting him. Grossly distracting him.
So when the podcast is over, will you just then scarf down the entire rest of the popcorn?
Sometimes I put it in a baggie because I make a lot of it. And then if I'm running behind when we're going to do a podcast,
then
I'll
you have
just grab it
out for next time.
And I have it just in case. That's right. Exactly. There is a strategy. It's the popcorn strategy.
Yes, good strategy. All right. Well, T-Bird, this was so much fun. Thank you for getting us connected with Big Tom today.
Oh, absolutely. That was
wild.
You know, everybody, I know I said this several times, that Big Tom will act like he's an old, dumb, bumpkin country farmer. I guess when he said he has a little piece of land up there with 800 or 900 head of cattle, you pretty much get the idea. He's a very, very, very smart guy, a very sharp businessman.
I don't even correct him when he tries to put that out there about I guess I'm just an idiot. I don't know anything. Tom. All right. But T-Bird, this was so wonderful. This was a lot of fun today. Of course, that we still have a lot coming up this weekend. Jason Linden, T-Bird, do you remember him?
I do remember Jason.
Yes, so he's going to be my guest on the feedback show this weekend. Make sure you get your feedback questions in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. You can email survivor@robiswebsite.com as well. We've got This Week in Survivor coming up, and then the Wand Off coming up in the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler on Monday. So it's a jam-packed week as we are still talking about this episode of Survivor, T-Bird.
Oh, and look, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the end of April.
April 29th in Atlanta.
For the know-it-alls. Yeah, the know-it-alls in Atlanta. Oh, my gosh. Hey, look, I've already heard it sold out, so I've had a lot of people reaching out to me saying, you know, can you get me a ticket? Can I be your guest? Can I be, you know, oh, I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So, yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's going to be a wild night, T-Bird. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. All right. Yeah. Of course, that if you want to get even more involved with everything that we're doing, you enjoy listening to these podcasts, you're looking for more people to be geeking out about Survivor with, well, you're in the right place. Head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's where you can get access to our patron only podcast feeds and our patron only Facebook community. Get in touch with all these other people that are talking about these crazy shows and everything that's going on here in Survivor Winners at War at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, you could follow T-Bird. T-Bird, where can people get all your stuff?
T-Bird Cooper. At T-Bird Cooper? Rob?
At T-Bird Cooper on Twitter. And is that the same on Instagram?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Of course. We have a new RHAP Instagram as well. RHAP Grams. Rahap Grams.
Oh, let me write this down.
Check that out. Check that out with T-Bird.
RHAP. Hey, G-R-A-M-S?
Yes.
All right. G-R-A. Because I shot a video right before I ran in here at the last second. I shot a little video I like to put on our Instagram.
Okay, well,
talking about our little.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see your latest treadmill video. Okay.
RHAP Grams. G-R-A-M-S.
Yes. All right. T-Bird, thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.